Part 3, Chapter 9. The Jedi Master emerged from his hut at dawn. Autumn had come to the island, and the morning was gray, hinting at worse weather to come. He found Rey standing outside the repaired door, leaning on her quarterstaff.
"Morning,"
she said. Luke didn't acknowledge her, shouldering his pack and walking up the stairs. Rey hadn't expected him to yield that easily, and so she followed him. And she kept following him as he ascended the island to its jagged crest to watch Octo's second sun clear the horizon.
"So this is where they built the original Jedi Temple?"
she asked.
"How long ago?"
"Go away," Luke replied.
He'd spoken. She decided to count that as progress, and smiled as she followed him back down the well-worn path, trailing him until they reached the tumbled rocks and narrow beaches that fringed the shoreline. Seabirds called overhead, and the salt air was sharp in Ray's nose. On the beach, sea sows lounged torpidly in tide pools, waiting for the suns to warm them. Luke unfastened a bottle from his pack and bent over a sow's belly, squeezing green milk from her swollen udder.
He looked up from his work, a green streak on his upper lip.
Rey kept watching, though that last moment had left her a little ill.
The sow regarded her lazily.
"Is this like a thing where you're pretending to ignore me, but secretly teaching me lessons?"
Rey asked.
"It is not," Luke replied.
She was there the next morning when his door opened.
"I've never seen so much water in my life," she said.
"Don't care,"
Luke muttered, and began his rounds. She suppressed a slight smile. Today he'd spoken to her immediately. At this rate, they might have an actual conversation within a few months. On the south side of the island, a narrow inlet pierced the land, its cliffs plunging down into a foamy slot of a bay. A pole leaned against the edge of the cliff, its end planted in the shallows far below. Luke grabbed the pole and used it as a lever to swing himself over the gap.
"Whoa, careful!" Rey called.
Luke landed lightly on the other side, standing on an impossibly narrow ledge, and aimed a withering look her way. He braced himself above the long drop and lifted the pole, staring down at the water. Rey edged over to the gap and peered down to where the pole's pointed, barbed end hung over the churning water. Luke waited, utterly still, until some signal told him to plunge the pole into the water. When he pulled it up, a meter-long fish was flapping on the end, stuck through.
"How'd you do that?" Rey asked. "The Force?"
"No."
It was raining hard when they returned to the saddle at the top of the island, the great fish strapped to Luke's back. Rey trudged along a few steps behind him, peering at his back through the rising wind and the slashing rain, and making sure she stayed close enough to hear him if he spoke to her. He didn't. A cold rain continued for most of the night. When Luke's door opened in the morning, Rey was there, chilled and weary, but there. He hesitated for a moment, but then walked past her, heading up the worn stairs, wreathed in mist. Rey followed, fingers white around her staff. She began to talk, at first just to keep herself warm, then so that there was some sound besides the murmur of the sea and the cries of the birds. So she let the story of her life unspool. All those years scavenging on Jakku, BB-8's arrival, flying the Falcon, seeing the miraculous green of Takodana, finding herself on Starkiller Base, departing Dakar with a Wookiee for a co-pilot and an ancient map for a guide. She addressed the story to Luke's back.
Perhaps telling it properly would make him realize the importance of her quest, and he'd stop treating her like an intruder. And if not, well, by now, annoying him was its own reward. Then, in mid-sentence, she stopped. Something was calling her. A sweet sound, whispering to her through the mist. She turned away from Luke and walked silently off in the opposite direction, eyes fixed ahead. Luke stopped and turned. He watched her go, head cocked, curious. The Uniti tree had been massive once, but all that remained of it now was an ancient mossy husk. In one end, an opening gaped, carved by weather and time. It was warm and dry inside. Light from a crack in the ancient trunk fell on a nook in the wood, one that held a row of 10 or so very old books. Ray approached slowly, gazing at them. As she neared the books, they began to glow faintly, and she felt like the air was thrumming with energy. She felt almost hypnotized. The books seemed to call her. But unlike the lightsaber on Takodana, that call didn't feel like a threat. Rather, it felt like a promise, one made long ago, and now ready to be fulfilled. She reached out her hand toward the books to touch them.
"Who are you?" Luke asked.
It followed her, and now stood looking at her as if for the first time. Rey was so entranced by the books that she barely noticed that Luke had finally acknowledged her.
"I know this place," she said. "This is a library."
Luke stepped in front of her and took one of the books off its shelf. She couldn't read the ancient runes inside, but she could feel their power.
"Built 1,000 generations ago. To keep these, the original Jedi texts," Luke said. "The Ionomica, the Ramagon, 12 other mystic-sounding made-up names, the foundation of the ancient faith. They were the first, and now, just like me, they are the last of the Jedi religion."
He looked up from the book, his eyes searching Rey's face. After the days she'd spent trying to get his attention, his sudden regard was a little unsettling.
"You know this place," Luke said. "You've seen these books. You've seen this island."
"Only in dreams," Ray said.
He looked at her again and repeated his earlier question.
"Who are you?"
"Weren't you listening? I told you the whole story."
"I went in and out."
It seemed wrong to roll one's eyes in the presence of the founding Jedi texts. She managed not to.
"The Resistance sent me," Rey said.
"They sent you. What's special about you? Jedi lineage? Royalty?"
Rey was none of those things. And after a moment's consideration, Luke seemed to sense that.
"An orphan," Luke said warily. "This is my nightmare. 1,000 wannabe younglings showing up on my doorstep, hoping they're the chosen whoevers, wanting to know how to lift rocks."
She silently pleaded for Luke to say something, but he just stared at her for a moment before turning and striding out of the library, reclaiming the solitude he had guarded so jealously.
"Where are you from?" Luke asked.
"Nowhere,"
Rey said, recalling endless days of heat and sand.
"No one's from nowhere."
"Jakku."
Luke raised an eyebrow.
All right, that is pretty much nowhere. Why are you here, Ray from Nowhere?
The Resistance sent me. We need your help. The First Order...
But Luke's eyes had turned flinty again.
You've got your youth. You've got a battle to fight. A whole universe out there to explore, he said. Why come dig me up? Dry bones, tired old legends. Let them lie, Ray from Nowhere. Find your own path.
That's not it. This is my path.
Is it? Why are you here?
There was nowhere to hide from his eyes. She took a breath, and then looked up pleadingly.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I'm afraid. I don't know what it is or what to do with it. And I need help.
You want a teacher. I can't teach you.
Why not? I've seen your daily routine. You're not busy.
I'll never teach another generation of Jedi, Luke said. You asked why I came here. I came to this island to die, and to burn the library so the Jedi Order dies with me. I know only one truth. It's time for all of this to end.
The words seemed to reverberate inside her head. Terrible and final.
Why?
Ray asked.
You can't understand,
Luke said dismissively, but also a little sadly.
So make me, Ray said. Leia sent me here with hope. If she was wrong, she deserves to know why. We all do.
It was all too much suddenly. He had seen the connection between her and the books and stopped ignoring her, only to reject her again. To reject her, his sister, and all those who were depending on him so desperately. She silently pleaded for Luke to say something. But he just stared at her for a moment before turning and striding out of the library, reclaiming the solitude he had guarded so jealously.